All right, week six NFL review here. Super disappointing loss there by the Patriots in overtime. Just a heartbreaker. CeeDee Lamb goes open right across the seam. Dak Prescott just has to put it in the bread basket, and there he goes. He goes for a touchdown. Now we're at 2-4. It's just you're gonna see that with the rookie quarterback woes, I guess. I mean, I'm not comfortable having to deal with it, but I guess, I mean, you have to kind of accept reality. And but yeah, looking ahead, have some more favorable matches on the schedule for the Patriots, and then hopefully, wait, it's the end of May? I don't know, that time flew by, but how about that? After 12 years, I've waited 12 years for a moment, which happened last night, to actually happen. Heartbreakers of losses too, mostly against LeBron James, whether he was if he was on the Heat or Cavaliers. But finally, and boy, that would have been fun to just lose because of 35 points from Jimmy Butler. But the Celtics, yes, the Boston Celtics are back in the NBA Finals. We'll play the Golden State Warriors. So Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Jordan Poole, Kevon Looney, anybody else? What's the guy's last name that starts with a B? I have no idea. So yeah, it's gonna be very good, I hope. I think the offense will get freed up a little bit more. The Miami Heat defense is so pressurizing, I guess. Is that how I is that the way to say it? But so yes, I think hopefully the offense will free up a little bit. But let me just kind of go back to the start of this postseason. I guess let's kind of take care of the entire season here, because I mean, granted, what the last podcast happened in October. I mean, I thought I was doing a week six review just like 10 minutes ago. Now here I am. I mean, it's May. I turned 23. It was my birthday last week. I didn't even know. I was just stuck in week five for the NFL review. Well, the Patriots made the playoffs. Look at that. I mean, they got their butts kicked by the Bills, but I mean, better than we thought, right? Mac Jones, pretty good, isn't he? I shouldn't be getting up close to the mic like this, but who really knows how this audio is going to turn out in post. But anyway, so to recap the Celtics season here, really rough start, like borderline just getting in the play-in tournament, so the 7 through 10 seeds of your conference. Sub-500 record, basically at the midway point of the season. I actually just saw a stat where it's like they're the fourth team ever in a season to have a sub-500 record, and meaning you have more losses than wins at the midway point of the season, and to make the NBA Finals. So that's super impressive, that turnaround they had. I mean, heck, we were dealing with the people saying they should break up Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who are both what, 25, 26 and younger. So, that's ideal that they didn't do that, because look where we are now. How about that? A big turnaround. Net efficiency ratings, both offensive and defensive, and I believe top three since that point of basically that turnaround. So the second half of the season, post All-Star break, wherever you want to mark it, basically at that point, they have really, really turned it around. And yeah, I think, maybe the acquisitions of Derek White, of course, bringing in Al Horford from last year was helpful, of like that great veteran presence to have, and big man presence too, to help with rebounding. Because granted, the Celtics have size, but specific at the big man, it's not like completely overwhelming, but just overall their entire lineup is pretty good in size. I mean, they were outsizing the Heat for sure in this series. So yeah, so you go through this process, and then a crucial point, I think an underrated point of this season, was actually the last game of the regular season. And that's when you had it was Miami had already clinched the one seed because they were like a game and a half ahead or whatever it was. So Miami was locked in at the one seed. That was going to happen regardless. But then you have a situation to where it was Boston, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia. And I believe it was, I want to say it was the last Sunday of the season. I think it was on a Sunday. And Milwaukee plays earlier against Detroit or whatever team it was. I can't remember, but they're resting a ton of their guys and they decide to take the loss because they don't want to play the Brooklyn Nets. They want to play Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and that team in the first round. So Milwaukee decides to kind of take a sacrifice for an eventual benefit, so they think, and not play Brooklyn. Meanwhile, it's the Celtics and the 76ers who are playing later in the day. And Philadelphia was probably playing Detroit. That's what I'm thinking of. But anyway, regardless, Philadelphia ends up winning. Boston ends up getting the win. So Boston jumps Milwaukee just based on how the standings were. They get the 2 seed, but they have to go and play the daunting Kevin Durant, one of the best players in the world, and Kyrie Irving, one of the best ball handlers, skill players, I think, probably ever in the league. Like, he's up there for sure. And it's kind of like, okay, this is real. Like, we're going to have to go through this very difficult team. And I mean, kind of surprising to me, they sweep them. And that was, it was the big game winner on, I believe, Easter Sunday, where Jason Tatum gets the game winning layup. Marcus Smart makes 2 defenders pump fake, leaving Tatum flying into the lane and getting behind Irving and Durant, which is, those pictures are just chef's kiss. Chef's kiss. And so from there, very close games. I think all 4 of the games in the series were under 10 points, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe there was like an 11 point game. But so they go through and sweep the Brooklyn Nets, which is, to me, like I said, to me, being honest here, that was surprising. I thought that game, that series could have gone very deep. I thought even Brooklyn could have won, but they have those star players, but they just don't have that depth that they might have had if those guys were healthy, say, or I mean, I guess last year they had more depth than they did this year, the Brooklyn Nets did. So there was that. And then they move on to the conference semifinals. And here's where this Milwaukee plan kind of goes sideways a little bit, because now you're okay. Granted, you passed Brooklyn, you had an easier first round. And now you have to go play the Celtics, but the Celtics have the home court advantage. So they, if it goes to the game 7, which it did, Celtics were playing at home. So in a way, advantage Celtics there. And I mean, granted, credit to Giannis Antetokounmpo, MVP, Finals MVP last year. The Bucks have already won a championship, defending championships, and they took advantage of Boston when Boston played them, what, like 3 years ago or whatever. And so this was a very, obviously, very important series that they needed to get this job done. And Giannis played really well. I mean, first player in NBA history in a series to have 200 points, 100 rebounds, 50 assists, which is just insane. That type of those totals that you're putting up in 7 games, just ridiculous. But a huge thing that helped Boston was the absence of Chris Middleton on Milwaukee. Chris Middleton is arguably their second best player and sometimes even steps up in those moments when Giannis is struggling in a game. And that served out to be a huge thing to be able to get the Celtics to win the series. But still, like, it was very, very difficult, even without Middleton, because Giannis was just, like I said, putting up historic numbers in that series. So they get by that. They get by another team that has eliminated them in the past few years in the playoffs. And now we are at this team in Miami who you can say doesn't have a superstar, though. Jimmy Butler, I mean, in the playoffs specifically, not necessarily the regular season. The regular season's hit or miss with him. But in the playoffs specifically, he's putting up just insane, incredible numbers. You could put so many adjectives on it, like, or superlatives. So Jimmy Butler still has his incredible, games, and he has his incredible games in this season. Holy moly, has incredible games in this series. And there was also games where he struggled. There was also games where the entire Heat team struggled. And, you know, I think just the culture of that organization in Miami, and just the amount of depth they have, the amount of the shooters, just the general toughness of that organization that Pat Riley has kind of built, it showed. And I mean, these are two teams with basically the top two defensive teams in the league going and playing each other in this Eastern Conference Finals. And so you're at, let's see, Miami, I think Miami wins the first game 1-0, and then you have Boston tying it up, which is a huge road win, makes things real interesting. And then go figure, Miami plays this gritty, really, really tough game 3 in Boston to go up 2-1 in the series. And at that point, because, I mean, you had Bam Adebayo go for 31 points. You just had these really, really good defensive efforts from all their players. And but it left me thinking that, okay, these guys are gonna be spent. Like, it just seems like they went all in, but just what you weren't sure how it was gonna translate to the next game. And I was kind of right in the sense that the Celtics dominated game 4. To be able to go 2-2 back to Miami. So it was kind of back on serve a little bit in terms of the series and home court advantage, stuff like that. One by 20 there. And then you go to game 5. And that was just like, I mean, Miami just didn't have legs. Like, that what I had thought after game 3 was happening. It was happening in game 4, happening in game 5, where they're scoring 82-80, which is like 1990 style basketball. I mean, with that level of scoring. That's the thing that kind of had me a little concerned going into that game clincher in game 6, was that Boston, I mean, granted, winning by double digits, perfect, whatever. But their shooting wasn't like anything spectacular. Like, it was better than a historically bad Miami 3-point shooting effort of, what was it, 7 of 45 from 3 in game 5. So, obviously, if Miami continued that into game 6, the Celtics didn't have to do, I guess, anything crazy on the offensive end in order to win that game. But then all of a sudden, you have flashbacks of 10 years ago. Like I had mentioned earlier in my talk, LeBron James, 2012, game 6 in the Garden, back against the wall, and he goes off and has, I can't remember the exact stat line, but like 45 points, a near triple double. And then they closed it out in Miami in game 7. So that's what I'm thinking. After Jimmy Butler goes off and gets 47 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Like, I mean, I'm like, come on, not again. Like, it's been 12 years. Come on, can we get to the finals? I mean, it's been what? We're at year 14 since they've won one. So the big three era. I mean, not Durant, Garnett, Pierce, Allen. So yeah, it's been a while. So I'm like, oh no, like, and there's been enough years to where history is now repeating itself. I'm like, oh no, here we go again. So needless to say, I was down after game 6, especially since the Heat put in that effort to go back to Miami. And now I'm just like questioning, okay, so what's going to give me hope here? Did the Heat just put in an effort like they did game 3, and the Celtics are going to be able to minimize that because the Heat are, you know, their legs are done again or whatever? That really wasn't the case. I mean, thankfully, the Celtics got out to a 15-plus point lead after the first quarter, and history says if you're in a game. This, I believe it was a series clinching game. Teams who went up 15 plus after the first quarter, hang on with me here, and they were 21-0 in those situations. So I read that, and as Miami, I think, outscores them by 9 in the second quarter, I'm like, oh, great. You know, I read that, I jinx myself, and here we go again. Let's get eliminated from the playoffs and the conference finals. No hopes of an NBA Finals appearance with the potential of beating Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and the rest of the Golden State Warriors. But thankfully, they were able to kind of hang on, actually outscore Miami in the third quarter, and then it was scary close at the end of that game. They were up at 12 or 9 with very little time left, and then Miami goes on this run, gets it within 2, actually has the opportunity of Jimmy Butler to hit a game-leading 3 with about 14 seconds to go, which is just was nerve-wracking, especially because Jimmy Butler was having not quite the level of game as he was in game 6, but he was having a really, really good, typical Jimmy Butler playoff performance. They didn't even rest a single minute of that game. Had 35 points, 9 rebounds again. And you also had a good effort from Bam Adebayo, who in some cases was very hesitant on the offensive end, but was able to turn that around, gain some confidence, and be more aggressive in this game 7. So having Butler and Adebayo score 60 points combined, definitely a little nerve-wracking. But thankfully, kind of those secondary starters and bench players didn't show up as much as I guess I thought they would. You know, PJ Tucker had 0 points. Tyler Hero was dealing with some groin issues throughout the series, and he came back, but he didn't even play in the second half. I know they said he wasn't 100%. He probably not necessarily re-injured it, but just aggravated enough to where he wasn't able to go again. So that was, I guess, a good thing to kind of eliminate that 3-point spot shooter kind of guy. But still, it was nerve-wracking at the end. I'm like, oh no, here we go. We're not going to make the NBA final, stuff like that. Obviously, the typical doubts of a sport fan when a team's making a run and then all this stuff. But yeah, thankfully everything worked out well. Tatum and Brown finally they're still very young, but I mean they've dealt with some adversity of getting eliminated. Like I said, the revenge tour of beating Brooklyn, then Milwaukee, then Miami, and now we got to go play a pretty daunting Golden State Warriors team because of just how quick and efficiently they can score the basketball, especially behind the 3-point line. So series starts on Thursday. I mean, I think I'm going to start doing this a little bit more, so maybe we'll get to a preview, not now, but in a couple days here, which is weird. Like, I checked the schedule, like, it's a 9 o'clock start for some of these games, which, I mean, like, geez, you can cater to the West Coast audience, but you don't have to take them on a date, too. I mean, that's just like, you got to have a little bit of advantage, right? If the game's in Boston for games 3, 4, and if necessary 6, you would think you would make that probably at like no later than 8:30. But yeah, I guess we're having some late night games. So I guess I'm going to be up until midnight for, you know, at least 4 games. So it is what it is, I guess. But yeah, a little too much West Coast love in terms of the times. I guess they're concerned about people working. So congratulations, people who work and want to get to the game or whatever. So anyway, what else? Is there anything else I really have to say? I'm just super glad. It's been 12 years, like I said. Heck, last time they made it, we still had Paul Pierce and Garnett. Why do I keep saying Durant? I mean, Garnett, Kevin Garnett. And Ray Allen. So that was a while ago. Lost to Kobe Bryant in the finals. So hopefully we get a win here, because that's been a while too, for such a historic franchise. But yeah, Super excited. Hopefully the extra days off here allow Smart and Robert Williams to rest up here, because Robert Williams in this game seven, I mean, only played 14 minutes. Grant Williams played more minutes than Robert Williams. Only had 3 rebounds and 2 points. So I kind of question how are the knees doing? Like, how is his balance, is his jump on certain things? So that's going to be something to monitor. I mean, those guys should be ready to go for game one of the finals, but we'll have to see. But yeah, hopefully we get a little bit better of performance from a healthier Robert Williams. But Marcus Smart, man, toughing it out. He played 40 minutes. Oldest player on the team, like longest tenured Celtic, which is kind of funny. I mean, he's only 28 years old. And I granted, like, you have a player like Al Horford who's older than Smart, more of a veteran player in the league, but in terms of team tenure, Marcus Smart, the longest tenured Celtic, which is kind of funny. Al Horford, just to mention him while we're at it, like, I mean, first NBA Finals appearance in his however many seasons he's played. So credit to him. And yeah, I'm just super excited. Job isn't done though. I'm going to obviously enjoy this today on Memorial Day. And thank you to all those who served. Figure I get that in too. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And we'll see what happens. So I'm back. The Celtics are back. It's a good day. It's a good day. Testing, 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 testing.